From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, September 13th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the 50th anniversary of hip-hop and its roots in Illinois. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Teaching assistants and security officers with the Decatur School District 61 rallied yesterday for wages they say they can live on. IPM reporter Emily Hayes has more.
Everywhere we go!
About 50 union members chant outside the Decatur Public Schools board meeting. The contract negotiations for both the Decatur Federation of Teaching Assistants and SEIU Local 73 have stalled and are in mediation. Johnny McClendon is the chief union steward for security. He says the job feels different than it did when he started 11 years ago.
Now being a security guard in a school means there is a possibility that you won't come home. We only get paid for 9 months of the year. So it is important for us to get a wage that will hold us and keep us through 90 days when we're not working.
Meanwhile, the teaching assistants are asking for at least $2 more per hour each year for the next 4 years. I'm Emily Hayes, IPM News.
The school district declined to comment. Transgender Illinoisans must now seek permission to compete in high school sports. The Illinois High School Association updated its policy on trans student athletes in a board meeting this week. The update requires those who do not align with their birth sex to submit documentation affirming their gender identity. The update applies only to postseason play in gender-specific sports. IHSA Director Craig Anderson says the updated policy was developed with guidance from IHSA Legal Counsel, the U.S. Department of Education, and the Illinois Secretary of State.
We want to try to be as inclusive as we can with students and have them really have a positive high school experience, no matter how they identify. But at the same time, protecting the integrity of competition, in particular during our state series.
Though not stated outright, the policy is most directed at transgender girls and women who may have a competitive advantage by going through male puberty even after they transition. Scientists have yet to agree on whether biological differences among trans women pose a threat to fair competition. Illinois' new law meant to prevent book bans at schools and public libraries got some attention during a U.S. Senate hearing on censorship yesterday. Opponents of Illinois' legislation say it takes away the rights of parents to decide what's appropriate, mainly on topics of sex and gender. But University of Illinois professor Emily Knox testified that some parents also want to censor American history.
We gain nothing by not telling our children the truth of genocide and slavery and Jim Crow.
Knox is board chair of the National Coalition Against Censorship. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed Illinois' law this summer. It restricts most grant money from state-funded libraries that makes books unavailable due to political or personal reasons. Illinois healthcare providers were asked last week to stop taking copays from undocumented residents covered under a state healthcare program. As Alex Degman reports, a hearing yesterday provided no clarity on when the charges will resume.
Non-citizens under the Healthcare Benefits for Immigrant Adults program started paying copays for emergency room visits and inpatient hospitalizations for the first time this summer. But Omar Shaker with the Department of Healthcare and Family Services says there are already federal programs that cover ER visits, so charging copays could jeopardize matching money. Shaker told lawmakers he isn't sure how long it'll take to sort it all out.
We don't have the re-implementation process completely fleshed out yet. We are anticipating a provider notice with sufficient time.
The state started requiring copays to try reining in the program's higher than expected costs. I'm Alex Degman.
Still to come, we'll learn more about the 50th anniversary of hip-hop and its roots in Illinois. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
In season 2 of the hit British mystery series Professor T, academic Jasper Tempest and the team return to confront a series of crimes, including a mysterious fire in a student block and the tragic murder of an entire family. Meanwhile, Professor T navigates conflicts with multiple women, including his mother, his therapist, and the love of his life. Friends of WILL can stream all 6 episodes of season 2 right now and catch up on season 1 with WILL Passport. Find out more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. This year marked the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. New York is credited as the birthplace of this cultural movement. But Illinois has roots of its own. Yvonne Booz has more.
It was the summer of 1973. DJ Kool Herc was DJing at a Bronx back-to-school jam. The MC experimented with sound by taking break beats of 2 songs and mixing them together. Breakbeats are drum beats that are sampled from existing songs during the breaks from the lyrics. This was the start of hip hop, and it quickly spread across the country. King Tim III, Personality Jock, is noted as the first recorded rap song. It was released in March of 1979. The Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight is said to be the first successful rap record.
Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And
but some say rap was recorded way before that and even before that New York party. Carico Kingdom Rock Sanders is a co-founder and curator of the Chicago Heritage Hip Hop Museum, located in the city's Bronzeville area. Other co-founders include Daryl Artistic Roberts and Brian Gorman. Sanders points out that comedian and soul singer Pigmeat Markham recorded a song in the 1960s called Here Comes the Judge.
The cold of swing is just about ready to do that thing.
I just want to remind people that Pigmeat Markham was 51 when he recorded that rap song. So it was an old man's sport when he did it.
The song was recorded at Chicago's Chess Records. It is considered a comedy record, but as you can hear, it sounds very similar to what we call rap music. Like many things, Sanders says hip-hop was rebranded and renamed. Sanders isn't the only one to say rap music was around before the 70s.
Wait a minute, they said 1973?
That was Sonny Crudup. He owned Ubiquity Records in Rockford. This long-standing store closed in 2009, but it was the place that most of the community relied on for their hip-hop tunes. Crudup remembers a New York group called the Les Poets.
When the revolution comes,
he says that was the first time he experienced the art form. Although he credits New York for birthing the craft, he says Illinois played an important role in specifically Rockford.
And I'm not bragging. We in Illinois, you know, we're sitting right here in the middle of Rockford. We probably was the ones that brought hip hop out. Because we had people coming from Beloit, we had them coming from Freeport, Elgin, Aurora, down in DeKalb, Dixon.
He says Rockford was a testing ground because he says at the time, Chicago was into house music. Crudup walks around his daughter's restaurant that has his namesake, Sonny's Place, showing me pictures of different hip-hop artists who visited his store.
They were here in Rockford, I think, at, was it the time?
Another component of hip-hop is dance. Sanders says a historic music program showcase the dance component before it had a name.
Soul Train started here in Chicago in 1970. I learned how to pop lock and do the robot and all those special dances from watching the Soul Train. I didn't know what hip-hop was when I was watching Soul Train.
While people go back and forth about how and where the art form got started, some agree that the culture changed the narrative for many inner-city youth. Sanders says it saved a lot of lives in Chicago, and he says he wants that part to be celebrated.
Hip-hop was like the first organic violence prevention mechanism that was ever created. Like, that's what I want y'all to remember. That's what I want the kids to remember.
Victor Rivera is a DJ and hip-hop dancer in the Rockford area. He is much younger than Crudup and Sanders, but he remembers how hip-hop influenced him.
You know, people thought we were just like ghetto hood kids. You know, we would get kicked out of things all the time, like rec centers and stuff, because they thought we were bad. But we were trying to avoid that lifestyle.
Rivera says hip hop is a bridge that brings young and old people together.
There's a lot of artistic art or outlets that can come from it, but there's also revenue for people who can DJ and want to rap and just trying to make it, who want to dance. There's just so many great outlets.
He says the art form is alive and well, especially in Rockford, and he doesn't see it going anywhere anytime soon. I'm Yvonne Booz.
You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie, say up.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 75 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Alex Degman, Tim Shelley, and Yvonne Booz. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.